Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started with the Senate Judiciary Committee today, Wednesday, April 13th. We have a couple of bills that are scheduled for work, public hearing and possible work session. Then we have a few bills on that are possible work session. Regarding our work session bills, just to let people know, 516 is not going to be ready today. We have an amendment that we need to have prepared, and that will be discussed later as to when we will be carrying that forward. I believe SJR 3 as well as SB 78 are also works in progress, meaning we're waiting for fiscals, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct, Bill? Okay, so let me go ahead and open up a work session on SJR 3 and SB 78. We will carry those over to Monday of next week, which will be the, I think that's the 18th. Is that correct? All right, so we'll carry those over to Monday the 18th and close that work session for those two bills. Work session on SB 516, knowing that we will be open, knowing that we need to actually get an amendment and all that work. I'm going to go ahead and put that one over, let's see, to Monday as well. And so that will be set. SB 516 will be carried over till this next Monday, also April 18th. With that, we'll close that work session. We're going to open up our first public hearing. I have two members here to give testimony, so I'm going to go ahead and open up the public hearing on SB 803. Aaron?
Thank you, Chair Przanski. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 803 makes two modifications to the child pornography laws. The first of these is that it modifies the definition of visual recording, being a visual recording of child pornography, to include photographs, films, videotapes, and computer or other digital pictures, regardless of the manner in which the recording is stored. The practical implication of this is it attempts to capture instances where somebody views pornography that may not be stored on their computer but does not download it. Similarly, the second part of Senate Bill 803 is it expands or at least modifies the definition of knowingly possessed to include knowingly accesses or views a visual depiction of sexually explicit conduct. I've been alerted that there is an 803-1. What the dash one does is take a few mentions of intentionally views and changes that to knowingly views. That is in accordance with the mens rea that is used elsewhere with the same, within the same statute.
All right. Thank you. Senators, you know the mode of operation here, so I'm not sure who has picked the straw to go first.
Well, we didn't decide, but I don't care. I'll be happy to go first.
Senator Virgil.
All right. Chair Przanski, members of the committee, I am Joanne Virgil. I represent Senate District 5 on the coast of Oregon. I want to thank you very much for allowing me to be here today and an opportunity to speak about Senate Bill 803. You have my testimony in front of you, so I am not going to read it. I just want to relate to you. You know about the Supreme Court case, and also that it noted in the case of Oregon versus Barry Laurel Barger that Oregon has not banned the viewing of child pornography unless it was paid for, and that viewing does not equal possession. And so that's the basis of the necessity for Senate Bill 803 in order to go forward and allow the Attorney General to be able to prosecute these cases. Then we have to change that, and as the Supreme Court noted. I just want to add, Chair Przanski and members of the committee, that the predatory environment of our children, not only in this way of viewing pornography, but across the board in society today, must get the attention of the Oregon legislature. And so I would encourage you to pass this legislation, allow the Attorney General to be able to prosecute these cases, but most of all, we need to protect our children who are the most vulnerable in our society. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm State Senator Lori Montes Anderson, representing Gresham, Trout, Delwood Village, and Fairview. I'm here today to support Senate Bill 803 And in January, the Oregon Supreme Court did rule that under current law, it is not a crime to view child pornography. And this legislation will close that loophole. Our children must and need to be protected, and under no circumstances should the sexual exploitation of innocent children be tolerated in any way or form. I believe that child sexual exploitation to be one of the worst, most heinous crimes imaginable. And therefore, I do want to make it easier for prosecutors to pursue and convict cases of child pornography. Using our children in such a terrible way is intolerable, and we need to be absolutely clear in this state of ours that viewing child pornography on the web is wrong, it is illegal, and we have to discourage this activity, and this bill actually helps us get there. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. Questions for either senator? All right, ladies, thank you very much. I had two other people that were scheduled on the registration to give testimony today, Mary Williams and Elizabeth Kushwa. Why don't y'all come forward? Is there going to be anyone else who will want to give testimony today on SB 803? Adam, come on. Adam, why don't you go ahead and come on up? And whoever would like to get started.
I'll go ahead. Chair Przanski, members of the committee, I'm Mary Williams, Deputy Attorney General. The Attorney General and I strongly support this legislation. First, I want to mention that in addition to the Attorney General and our Internet Crimes Against Children program, which is involved in the prosecution of these cases, it's also, obviously, it's a crime that can be prosecuted by all of the district attorneys across the state and their prosecutors. What this does is it allows us to modernize the language of the statute to address some of the newer technology and ways in which child pornography can be viewed and accessed. It brings the language into basically the same language that we see in the federal laws that prohibit this kind of intentional viewing of child pornography, and will enable us to continue prosecuting a broader class of these offenses. And so we're in support of this legislation. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Przanski, Senators. My name is Elizabeth Kushwa, and I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon District Attorneys Association. The district attorneys are in strong support of this bill with the Dash 1 amendments, tightening up that knowingly language to conform with the other parts of the statute. We feel strongly about tightening this loophole and modernizing the language. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Adam?
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Adam Walsh with the City of Eugene. Our detectives have dealt with and deal with several cases related to this statute, and we support the bill.
All right, thank you. Any questions? Senator Bonamici.
Just a quick one. It's my understanding that what is considered child pornography is already in the statute, and this doesn't change what is considered to be child pornography. It just deals with the viewing versus possession. Is that correct?
Chair Przanski, Senator Bonamici, yes, that's correct. This doesn't change the definition of child pornography, just the possession and the access and how that part of the statute is defined.
Senator Cruz.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. My question's on the Dash 1, where in two places it changes intentionally views to knowingly accesses with the intent to view. What structurally, what change does that actually make? Words are words. So I mean, from the enforcement perspective, what does that really change?
Chair Przanski, Senator Cruz, what this basically brings the language of the statute in line with what the element that the prosecutors have to establish. Committee counsel may also, it was sort of what you said in introducing the language. So I don't know if there's something else that you would like to add as well on this bill.
Sure. I'd be happy to, Chair Przanski and Senator Cruz. Basically, just in very brief, there are sort of three different mens rea type. There's intentionally, knowingly, and recklessly. And intend, you intend to do it knowingly. You know what you're doing and what the consequences, and recklessly, you're indifferent to what's going to happen. This whole statute is, it's section, 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 all over in the child pornography regime. It's knowingly. That's sort of the coin that they trade in terms of standard of proof. So putting intentionally in would just be sort of weird because it would be the only place it was there.
Fair enough. I just
There's another part of this, I think, that needs to be part of the record. When you read that, what's going to be inserted, knowingly accesses with the intent to view. One of the concerns the chair had when the decision came out that we want to fix this, but we also want to make certain someone who opens innocently a site that is maybe they think it's something else than what it actually turns out to be, they did not knowingly access it
with the intent
to view it. So this is a means to make certain those individuals are not going to get caught up in this system, but clearly will be able to show through the detective's work where someone is actually going into a site, staying there for whatever length of time it may be, or opening up multiple sites on a ongoing basis.
Okay.
So that's the reason for making it very clear, very explicit, that, I mean, probably all of us who've ever been using the internet have reached something that they did not intend to. I'm not saying it was pornographic, but it's still something that you weren't intending, and so those things do happen. So we want to make certain that's built
Mr. Chair, especially computer dinosaurs like myself, where I've gone and some of the sites you can't seem to get out of, but anyway.
Right, exactly. All right, any other questions or comments? Thank you all very much for coming forward. Lastly, is there anyone else who wants to give testimony on 803? Not seeing anyone. We're going to go ahead and close the public hearing on Senate Bill 803. I believe we have all of the information we need, so I'm opening up a work session on Senate Bill 803.
Mr. Chair, move the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 803.
Senator Cruz moves the -1 amendment into Senate Bill 803. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 803 as amended.
All right.
You good?
Yeah, go
ahead. As amended by the -1 amendments to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 803 as amended by the -1s to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Council, if you want to give us the disclaimers.
Yes, Chair Przonski, members of the committee, just wanted to add that there has been a fiscal assessment on this. It's expected to have a minimal fiscal impact and no impact on revenue.
Right. All right, any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. We'll put Senator Berger as the carrier of the bill, and she can work with...
Mr. Chair, if I would suggest you have Senator Berger and Mona Sanderson there, they can open and close on it.
I was getting ready to say, and they can talk between themselves and decide on how they want to move this forward as to the presentation. But I am going to put her as the lead if they want to change and have... Laurie Montes Anderson do the lead, and she closed however they want to do it.
Okay.
All righty. So we're going to go ahead and close that work session, and now we're going to go ahead and open up, I'm going to say, a public hearing on Senate Bill 608, just because that's how we've got it listed. And so I'm going to do that now, and that council will change positions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Senate Bill 608 establishes the Rural Medical Liability Subsidy Fund to subsidize physician malpractice premiums for certain rural physicians and nurse practitioners along a scale determined by practice area. We heard this bill on March 2nd, and now there is a consensus -4 amendment which replaces the federal definition of rural practitioner with previously established criteria from the Office of Rural Health, requires annual compliance measures to ensure practitioners are seeing the required proportion of patients on Medicare and medical assistance, and directs an insurer to reduce their premium by the amount of the subsidy.
All right. So the purpose at this point is, I guess, ask one. Brian, once you come up, I'm not sure who else.
Scott.
Okay. The two of you will come up. Walk us through the amendments. And that way we can get this all on the record. I believe we're still waiting for some of the fiscal before we can actually move it, but we want to get everything there, get the amendments adopted, et cetera.
Great. Thanks, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Brian Beringer with the Oregon Medical Association. We sent around a memo yesterday explaining the amendments, but if you don't have that, it's attached again in the packet that's being passed out to you right now that has the this cover sheet. and then the second page is the memo. And so a couple of changes just to draw your attention to. The first paragraph there simply adds back into the bill the criteria that was established in 2007 with some specific changes to the geographic boundaries around Ashland. So what that does is pulls Ashland out of the definition for everything but obstetrics. And that was what was agreed on previously, and we just need to clarify that in the legislation. The second paragraph makes another change to make this bill mirror the current program, and that is the payments go to the carriers and not the providers, and that is simply an administration thing. It's a lot easier program to administer if you're paying the carriers as opposed to tracking down all the providers, and that's how the current program runs. The third paragraph in the memo is a change that allows the Oregon Health Authority to contract with the Oregon the Office of Rural Health, which is how the program's currently run, but puts that into statute so they can do that. The fourth change is a change that Senator Cruz and others had asked for, and that removes the words up to in the last two classifications of the subsidy. And basically what that does is if the program runs out of money, it sets how they work up from the bottom as opposed to arbitrarily changing those percentages in the legislation. The fifth paragraph in the memo discusses the change that also mirrors the current program and allows the carriers to the option of either providing the subsidy to the providers up front or crediting it later, and that just gives them the flexibility of how the current program is run. The sixth paragraph and the final paragraph simply removes the emergency clause from the bill that allows us to run the program to its current ending, which was calendar year of 2011, and that allows us to take advantage of the full program that currently exists before we start the next program, and it allows the Office of Rural Health and the Oregon Health Authority to set up to get ready for that January 1, 2012 start date.
All right, thank you. Scott, do you have anything? All right, any questions regarding the amendment? Thank you all very much. Is there anyone else who wants to give testimony based on what we've heard on what the Dash 4s will accomplish? Not seeing anyone come forward, I'm going to go ahead and close this public hearing. And at this point, we're going to go ahead and open a work session on Senate Bill 608 for the purpose of adopting the amendment.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 4 amendment to Senate Bill 608.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 4 amendment into Senate Bill 608. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And at this point, I believe we are needing fiscal and everything, so we're going to set this for Monday, April 18th, for work session. So
just
we will close this work session and continue it until Monday the 18th. Hopefully we'll have all the paperwork and we can move the bill out at that time. And with that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 608. And as I mentioned at the beginning of today's agenda, the bills that were set for work session today, SJR 3, SB 78, and SB 516, have been carried over to this coming Monday, April 18th. So we will have those three plus this last bill up on that day. Any other discussions, comments for the good of the order? Tomorrow's Thursday. We'll be here at 8 a.m. So we'll see everyone then. We'll adjourn.